Set was chief advisor to Isi, Pharaoh of Egypt. Historical evidence for the first code of correct behavior comes from an old kingdom of Egypt in the book The Instructions of Tafopet, written in the year 2500 BC. This manuscript on manners now resides in a Paris antiquities collection. The author references the wisdom found in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes concerning holding of one's tongue in the presence of a superior, and that a woman's silence was a better gift than flowers to the king. Laugh when your superior laughs, but not until then. Let thy mind be deep and thy speech scanty. It also included proper eating habits in the presence of the Pharaoh or king. And more recently, army generals and corporate executives have complained that new recruits and those who have their master's in the business association, or MBA, these graduates revealed an embarrassing confusion about formal manners at the table. This is one reason why there are many books been written on proper etiquette. Forks, you know, a knife, a spoon, and a fork. Forks were not common use in our house until the late 16th century, and that the Roman three-finger rule was still in effect for proper etiquette in the 1530s. What is the three-finger rule? That is where your pinky and your ring finger don't touch the food, and you eat your food like this. If your finger dropped, you were uneducated. If your finger went up, you were educated. How many of you drink your tea that way? That's what it came to mean. Wow. Well, I wouldn't want to eat with these people, would you? This meant, of course, that this statement, listen to this. If you ate with all fingers, you know, like grabbing a hamburger and just doing this, this meant to eat your food with the ring finger and pinky never touching the food as an expression of one's education of proper manners, befitting one who has risen above the beastly masses of uncouth men. Wow. If you came to the table of the king and ate like a starving hog, it was a sign of disrespect to him, and it would be better for you to have put a knife to your throat before you arrived and skipped the meal. That is a proverb, by the way, the one if you come to a king's table and eat disrespectfully a lot, then he would not be a very wise way to perform carry yourself in the presence of a king. An Italian historian recorded a dinner in which a noble woman ate with a fork of her own design and incurred the rebuke of several ministers present there, and they said, for her excessive sign of refinement. They felt uncomfortable in that upscale idea of eating with a silver fork. She died several months later, unexpectedly, and the minister said that her death was a divine punishment and a warning to others contemplating the affection of a fork. Wow. Books on proper social behavior in the 13th century quoted things like this. A number of people gnaw on a bone and put it back on the dish. This is a serious offense. Refrain from falling upon the dish like a swine while eating, snorting disgustingly, and smacking the lips. Talking about social behaviors that are unacceptable in the 13th century. When you blow your nose or cough, turn around so that nothing falls on the table. That's a good one. In the 14th century, as we developed culturally, a man who clears his throat when he eats, or one who blows his nose in public, particularly into his tablecloth, are both ill-bred, I assure you. 15th century, do not put back on your plate what has been in your mouth. Do not chew anything you have to spit out again. You should not offer your handkerchief to anyone unless it has been freshly washed, nor is it seemly after wiping your nose to spread out your handkerchief and peer into it as though pearls and rubies might have fallen out of your head. Social behaviors. 20th century. Don't chew with your mouth open. Anybody ever heard that one? Don't talk with food in your mouth or your mouth full. If you yawn, cover your mouth as to not spray another. That's very kind of you. How many know when you yawn, water comes out of your mouth? Anybody figured that out? Thanks for the shower, buddy. You know, the person behind you. Anybody having a little fun here today? I'm enjoying myself. I don't know about the rest of you. Now, we may not always have the socially acceptable behavior in a given culture. For instance, when I went to Brazil, the American sign of okay, like this, you know, putting your finger saying that's okay, over in Brazil, that's like a curse word to somebody. So these are different things culturally, how to behave culturally. So we may not always be sure about proper table or social behavior in a given culture, but we do know that God desires Christ-like growth and godly behavior in every culture. Go to Titus chapter 2, if you will, today for our message concerning this topic, older or aged men behaving godly. Older men behaving godly. This has gone from belief to behavior. Let's look at belief first of all. Excuse me, let's go back to chapter 1 and look at belief. It doesn't really matter much how you behave if you don't believe God. Amen? Let me say that again. It doesn't really matter much in God's economy how you behave if you don't believe God. If you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior. Because your good works can't save you. You must be born again into the family of God. That's a point in time where you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior, from your sin. You realize that He's God in human flesh. You realize that Christ came down, died on the cross after living a sinless and perfect life. He was dead for 3 days. His spirit left His body. After 3 days, His spirit reentered His dead body. He stood up, walked out of the grave. He resurrected from the dead. He ascended after 40 days back up into heaven. He's seated right now by God the Father, and He's ever living to make intercession for us. He is God. The true God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The three are one. We didn't make God. He made us. All God's people say, amen. He's an eternal being. Try to get that one in your heart and mind. It's the truth, and we must believe it. We must be saved from our sins. And as a result, we will not go to hell. If we're saved from our sins, we've trusted Christ as our Savior, godly character will begin to be formed in us. And it starts with older men. It'll be seen, first of all, the congregation is supposed to be led by older men. We're supposed to be the example to older women or aged women. Then the young men, then the young ladies. It's supposed to affect the whole congregation. It's supposed to affect our households. And so today we're looking at the godly behavior of older men. First of all, behavior is not going to matter if you haven't believed, as I said. So in Titus chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, talks about Paul telling Titus to go in and ordain these older men, set them apart for ministry in the local churches there. It says this in verse 3 about God, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, it was given unto Paul and now to Titus, according to the commandment. God is the one that commanded Paul to give this to Titus. The commandment of God, our what? Savior. God is our Savior. Look at verse 4. And this letter is written to Titus, a young minister, one of the three letters written to young ministers, Titus, 1 and 2 Timothy. Those are pastoral letters, and we're studying this one. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, meaning that Paul led Titus to Christ, to believe the common, the shared faith, which is only one faith. The Bible only teaches one true faith. That's faith in the true God, and manifest through his son, Jesus Christ. Here's what you get. You get grace. Not what you deserve, but you get the blessing or the favor of God. Enablement. Grace to believe and to live for God. Mercy, because you have failed the Lord even after you believed upon him. All God's people say, amen. But you want peace with God. And that you get that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You keep drawing that from him. And then notice the mutual grace, mercy, and peace. Where does it come from? From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, notice again, our Savior. Jesus saves. God saves. The Father so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, the only one like him, Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit spreads abroad the love of God in our hearts like a garden so that we'll know that God loves us and that we're to love God with all of our hearts. And to love our neighbor as ourselves. I imagine that Carrie went into this Muslim country because she loved her neighbor as herself and willing to take the gospel there. This young group of young people working on college campuses, many of us can't get in there. We can't do it. We better thank God that there's an opportunity there. I say we better thank God there's an opportunity there. Amen. You know, we've got to realize there's something greater than death, and that's called love. Love is stronger than death. And we've got to love God so much, knowing his love for us, that we're not afraid to die if it comes to that. Death's sting has been taken away. For me to be absent from my body is to be present with the Lord. And if my loved one departs from this planet, Brother Dan Munsell, your wife's with the Lord right now, isn't she? Amen. And she's enjoying the Lord, Brother Dan. Amen. And that's the comfort that we have in this life, that the best is yet to come if we know Jesus Christ. Wow. God is our Savior. After we know God is our Savior, there's a certain behavior that is to take place, particularly in older men. Brother Dan said with his wife, Barb, we've decided to establish our home on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we had a very good marriage. That's Dan's testimony. I hope if you're married, you can have that testimony too. We started on Christ, we're going to stay with Christ, and we're going to end with Christ. That's life. If we didn't start with Christ, how about starting with Christ today? Amen. Marriage is a picture of Christ and his love for the church. Older men are supposed to be modeling that. We may not always be sure about the proper table, manners, or social behaviors in any given culture, but we do know this. God desires Christ-like growth and godly behavior in every culture. Knowing God as our Savior leads to godly behavior in life. Knowing God as our Savior leads to godly behavior in life. So now Titus chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. Today's message. The godly behavior of older men. Titus 2 verses 1 and 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged or older men may be sober, grave, and temperate. Sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you would take us to your throne of grace right now, dear Lord, in our hearts and our minds, and that you would be our teacher. Help us to see how the gospel freely lived in our hearts will begin to affect our homes if we'll allow it to do so. It'll change our hearts first. It has the power to transform our homes, all our relationships, particularly in this local body. Respect for older people, particularly older men. That'll lead to respect for older women. Younger men and younger women can be respectable too. as they demonstrate godly behavior, Christ life in them. And Christ, I pray you be exalted in us today. Let your life come through us, particularly our older men here, which should be leading the way in godliness. In Jesus' name, amen. Those are some funny things. I particularly like that one, you know, don't blow your nose and hold it out as a diamond's falling off for everyone to examine. That's some pretty funny stuff to me, but I have a warped sense of humor, so that's why I listed all those for you, you know. He goes on to say here about those who are not like the Cretan men who were undefiled and everything. They were impure in their relationships, and it's because they were not believing upon God in their hearts. Because they were not believing upon God in their hearts, their own God was their belly, how they felt about things. They were covetousness. They went for the monies and things for filthy lucre's sake. They were lying about things in life to get that money. They were also lazy, didn't really have a good work ethic. And they were called evil beasts. They were just willing to do evil things. They were not healthy spiritually. They tried to gain a following through the unfaithfulness of others. And so the truth comes and is taught so that there will be a gaining to those to believe the truth in chapter 1 and verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that we may be able by sound doctrine, healthy teaching. If you're trying to earn your own way of salvation, that's not healthy doctrine. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's healthy doctrine. That doctrine, that teaching will save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's healthy doctrine. And I thank the Lord so much for the truth. Knowing God as your Savior will lead to godly behavior. Knowing Christ as your Savior will lead to godly behavior. How can we not focus on the cross and see our great need for the Lord and to be like Him and to love Him and to want to serve Him? How can anyone focus on the cross and want to continue in sin? It can't be done. We can't focus on the cross and want to live in sin too. We might be believing a lie. The devil's lying all the time, lying to men, lying to women, lying to children. And God help us not to believe a lie. What will deliver you from believing a lie? Believing the truth. Sound doctrine is pure or healthy teaching. We're to do it continually as the word here is given. Sound doctrine. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. Everybody's teaching. Everybody in here is a teacher. I hope you're teaching the right things. One day it sobered me up when somebody preached on a message and a boy said, "Dad, I want to do exactly what you're doing." I heard that in a message and that sobered me up. Can I look at my son and say, "I want you to do exactly what I'm doing"? Boy, that'll start knocking out a few things that you're not sure about. Amen. That'll cause you to lay on your face and say, "God, please help me get it right." That'll cause you to say, "Son, every now and then I don't get it right. Would you forgive me?" That'll cause you to say, "Pray for me, to Lord, to help me love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." That'll cause you to say to your daughters, "Be pure in all things." To your young men, "Be pure in all things. Wait. Don't just give yourself to anyone physically. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart." If you are to be married, everyone's not. Most will. Marry right. Marry, ask the Lord to give you the one that he would have you to be with. More importantly, ask God to help you to be the right one for someone else. Say, "Well, our marriage didn't start off in the best situation." Okay, how about today? Can we go forward from today? Everyone? Can we go back to the standard of the Bible and tell older godly men not to be dirty old men, laughing at all the filthiness and perversity in life, acting like a little immature teenager who doesn't know God? Junior high in mentality, heart and mind, filthiness everywhere, laughing at filthy jokes, watching the cartoon channel. Oh, I'm just telling you what I've read about the problem in America, particularly with immature men still wanting to be little boys. We got to grow up, guys, and we got to grow up fast. Then there's other children that are forced upon them to grow up fast. Their mother and their father have forsaken them. They may not even hardly know that they're alive, and they just leave them. And the adoption agencies can't get them out fast enough. If my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. All God's people say, amen. Sound doctrine, it's pure doctrine, it's undefiled doctrine, it's believing doctrine. Nothing undefiled will be allowed in heaven. Therefore, only the believing sinner, washed in the blood of the Lamb by faith, may enter into heaven. So godly behavior will follow true salvation in due time. Attitudes and actions that follow are fitting to true salvation in the heart. This word, aged men, here is interesting. Paul uses this word in writing a number of times, this word aged here. How old do you think the man is he qualified to be one of the aged men in the congregation? And the answer is, he's 50 years old. How many of you guys are over 50 years old? Let's see it. Come on. Over 50 years old. Wow. Now, I asked that with the ladies next week. They're going to be like, don't ask that question next week. Okay. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but that's coming. Aged women is the next message. Okay, just letting you know. The world disrespects older people. They're taught that anything old can't be good. Are you aware of that? Don't trust anybody over 30. I remember when I was 16, 17, and somebody, 30, you're going to start getting a family van. Anybody driving a van's old. I need a sports car, you know. Therefore, you got guys 70 and 80 years old, gold cross down here, hanging around top of the belly, you know, fuzzy business going on up here, fuzzy stuff in the windshield, on their about fifth or sixth wife and still trying to be a kid, driving a red convertible. I hope you don't have one of those. I'm in real trouble. If you don't want that red convertible, by the way, I'll take it. I'll just let you know. Greg and I'll use it and we'll sell it, right? Now, we're living in a culture that doesn't want to grow up. But God does want us to grow up. And he wants us to grow up in godliness. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, though he fall, and we do at times, even trying to serve God. He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The Lord will raise us back up. I've been young, and now I'm old, King David speaking. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, that's God, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Guys, if we'll be faithful to the Lord, we'll be a blessing to our family. And if we're not faithful to God, we'll not be a blessing to our family. That's a sobering statement. I want to be a blessing to my family. Proverbs 16, 31 and 32. Everybody who has gray hair is a nuisance. No, that's not what it says. It says the hoary head, which means gray hair, is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. Older people serving God is a blessing. It's a crown of glory. He that's slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. There's the gray head given wisdom. Slow to anger, great strength. Rule your spirit, mightier than a man that can take a city. There are six behavioral characteristics of older godly men in this passage, and let us look at them. First one is sober. This means in mind and in spirit. It was originally meaning to be unmixed with wine. In other words, he doesn't get drunk as a way of life like the Cretan men did. In control of his spirit or emotions doesn't mean he doesn't have a spirit or doesn't have an emotional time on occasion, but he's under control of the spirit when that happens. He brings himself back. He regularly brings himself back to be underneath the control of the Holy Spirit when he realizes he's out of control. He brings himself back underneath control of the Holy Spirit as a way of life. He's just learned to do it again and again and again. Sometimes he's out of control, but then he realizes he brings himself back underneath control of the Holy Spirit. That's one of these older godly men. He regularly does it. He's free from practicing sexual perversity of any type. In his mind, pictures, or movies, even refusing to look upon women in that sense, having no taste for it. He's tasted the Lord, and he doesn't want to taste perversity. That's godly maturity. He's faithful to his wife in thought, word, and deed, even if she's not around, because he wants to be faithful to God, all God's people say. Amen. He's not a dirty old man like the men on the island of Crete. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. That means it's pure, the marriage bed. But whoremongers, people having a sexual relationship, used to call the women a whore, men amongst whores. And adulterers, sexual activity outside of the marriage bond, God will judge them. He might judge you by giving you a child with a woman that's not your wife, and now you got to pay for him or her. That's one of the judgments. He might judge you by giving you AIDS. That's one of the judgments. There's a lot of judgments that God gives. How many of you are thankful for God's mercy? Say amen. So, folks, we're talking about being honorable older men. Say, Pastor Long, can somebody turn the air conditioning on? It's getting hot in here. But believe me, I'm sweating up here too. God doesn't change his standards. He demands purity in our relationships, all of our relationships. People have a problem talking about sexual activity in church. I don't. I just preach the Bible. No problem whatsoever talking about it. Just as freely as I talk about what's going on in the newspaper or the basketball team or whatever might be happening, because it's the truth. I could just speak freely. One of my buddies said I better not go there. 30 years ago, 30 years ago, one of my teachers said to me, hey, would you pray for me? I said, okay. He says, my wife was taught by her pastoral father that sex is dirty, and therefore now that we're married, she thinks sex is dirty even though we're married. I said, well, he didn't teach her right. What he was trying to do was protect his daughter from having a sexual activity outside of marriage, so he just told her that sex was dirty. Sex isn't dirty in marriage. It's pure, holy, and it should be practiced regularly in a married couple. Something wrong with that? No, that's the truth. In fact, God says don't refrain from it unless both of you have decided that you're going to spend a time of fasting and prayer over some issue. Other than that, there ought to be a regular intimacy between a husband and a wife. Just letting you know what the Bible says. But dirty old men think about having a sexual relationship with other women other than, or some other thing, other than their wife. And that's undefiled. That's not pure, that's defiled. And God will judge that in some fashion. We better start listening to God when he tells us and warns us about these things. Because you won't be the exception, I promise. We cry out to God for mercy and grace in our relationships because we know that no one's done it perfectly. The only pure one is Jesus Christ. And that's why we need salvation from our sins. We have sinned against the Lord in thought, word, and some indeed too, and that means sexually. Therefore, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved from those sins. Free man to preach, amen? Love the truth. Love Christ. Salvation teaches men to have one wife and to be faithful to her. Let your godly behavior picture Christ and his love for the church, Ephesians 5. Aged men, again, is used for men over 50 years of age. Now, how do you know if you're getting older? Let's go with a lighter moment. How do you know if you're getting older? One, you can't find your glasses because they're sitting on the top of your head. That's how you know you're getting older. Number two, you realize the music on the elevator, you recognize the music on the elevator and you sing along with it. That, well, you're really old. The oldie goldies have come back around with another tune. You remember every word. When you own clothes that have come back in style twice, you know you're old. I wore a tie the other day, and I think Jan Young, Pastor, that's a new tie. Boy, that really looks nice. I thought I've had this crazy tie 10 years. I just put it back in the closet and took it back out. This one's newer, by the way. They get wide, they get skinny, they get wide. I remember one time my dad said, these new dress styles, these people wearing these skinny ties. And I looked at him in Bible college. There he had a skinny tie holding me. Right. Well, those things may change, but I can tell you this. What God wants changing is something on the inside. Godly men. They lead the congregation. As the godly men go in the congregation, so goes the congregation. Sound, healthy doctrine. Men have to care if the rest of us are going to. These men, these aged men, verse 2, are to be sober. They are to be grave. Yeah, I thought, a real killjoy. No, the word means dignified. It means to be worthy of respect because they take salvation seriously. They take living for God seriously. In fact, these are some of the freest people that they are. They might laugh about all kinds of things. I mean, we had a good time laughing at the beginning of this message, right? But one thing they don't laugh about is perversity. They don't think that's funny at all. Somebody starts telling a dirty joke at the coffee shop and you say, hey, I don't want to hear it. No thanks. Some guy in his 80s bragging about womanizing, some rich guy in town, and everybody's sitting around listening, laughing, and he starts telling this joke, and I said, hey, I don't, you know what? Obviously, you're living in a dreamland. No 30-year-old woman wants to spend any time with you. If they do, she just wants your money. I can't believe I said it. You think she really attracted you, 80 years old? Money. That's what it was. Folks, it's a shameful thing when an older man not serving God. It affects everybody. Not only does he not want to hear perverse things, dirty jokes, or he doesn't want to listen to greedy or crooked ways to make money without actually working for it. Boy, I got one over on that guy. I bought it for this and sold it for that. Over a couple of days, I made $30,000. I thought, yeah. You just like the proverb said, you go into a property, you talk it down over here and you buy it, then you go over here to sell it and you talk it up. That's called being dishonest. Oh, I didn't know that. The proverb says you go and you laugh about it, that you got one over on somebody. That's all right, God's keeping the score. You know, when people are dignified, they just tell the truth, they don't have to look behind their back. Because they're just that way. Jesus was despised and rejected of men in general because he was pure. That's why they went away. But folks, we don't want to go away from the purity of the Holy One. We want to be drawn into it so we can be holy too. The way to God, no other path. He's the truth in God. All others are liars and thieves, Jesus said. And he's life itself of God, not spiritual death. Salvation in heart will eventually change a man's behavior to esteem the likeness of Christ as his highest goal in life. A man at 50 years of age has seen enough empty pursuits in life that he clings to and promotes unashamedly salvation in Christ and a life lived to his glory. He's not ashamed of it anymore. He'll just tell you flat out. Vanity of vanity, always vanity. If you're not going to serve God, it's a big waste of time. Who cares about your house, your car, or girls or men or boyfriends or girlfriends? Doesn't really mean much if you're not going to serve God. This is a sobering message, amen? That's what it means, sober there. It's a sobering message, no doubt. Grave here means dignified. Again, it's someone who's not shallow. There is spiritual depth to the person. He's come to embrace joyfully the responsibilities and privileges of adulthood. Something is definitely there for others to draw from for their own spiritual advancement. That's maturity. Something's definitely there for others to draw from for their own spiritual advancement. He is slow to tell the truth if he knows it'll hurt another person, but quick to tell you his own faults or mistakes. That's maturity. An old man can act like a little boy in his spirit. Externals are the big issue. Look at me. Look at my bucks. Look at my bulging muscles. How many beers can I drink before I belch? Look at my woman. Look at my car. Look at my house. Look at my job. All self-absorbed, immature, adolescent in way of thinking. Ungodly. Godly manliness is the most endangered species on the planet. Godly manliness. Our culture has demeaned men to the point where we have sissified men and manly women. And that's disgusting. That needs to change back to the biblical culture. Positional holiness is created in the heart at salvation. Positional holiness. But behavioral holiness is growing in love, evidenced by growing in love for the brethren. You love other Christians. You love to be around them. You love to talk to them. And you love to talk about the things of God. Practical holiness means obedience to God's word in everyday life. It's an evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, and it's genuine love for other people. 1 Thessalonians 3, 12 through 13. And the Lord, notice, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another. The Lord does that. And toward all men, even the unsaved, even as we do toward you. To the end, here's the point, that you may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even your Father, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. You see that? Unblameable love and holiness and love toward others. It's the same thing. That is holiness. These aged men have learned to appropriate grace, which is so important both in the physical and the spiritual realm. They know to come back to God for grace. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, bring every thought unto the obedience of Christ. They may get off for a while, but they'll always come back. That's the aged men. Aged men have more wisdom to offer the younger generation to help them grow in wisdom. In other words, they've matured enough in themselves to start living in sacrificial love toward others. They're not self-absorbed. They're focused on other people. Psalm 90, 12, 14, 16, and 17, Psalm 90. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The older you get, you know, the days are a few. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Start numbering your days. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. You want our children to see the glory of God in you. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish thou the work of our hands. Yea, let the work of our hands establish thou the work of our hands. In the book, it's not a Christian book, just some things I learned. The Death of a Grown-Up, written a number of years ago. Not written from a Christian perspective, as I said. But after a 10-year gathering of facts, I looked at several countries and here what we got. Great Britain, 46% of men consider their parents' house to be their real house. Almost half of the men think their parents' house is their house. That means men up in their 50s and their 60s thinking their 80 or 90 year old parents, is that's their real house? In Italy, 1 out of 3 men still live with their parents and don't ever plan to leave. In America, you'll like this one, 18 to 49 years of age, more men watch the cartoon channel than any news channel. Cartoons. I can understand the 18 maybe, but 49 years of age? The average gamester in 1990 was 18 years of age. Today it's 34 years of age. What is that? That's the pushing back of adolescence. They don't want to grow up. Why are godly mature men some of the happiest people in the world? What did you say? I said, why are godly mature men some of the happiest people in the world? Here's the reason. They get hit hard because they're leaders, but have learned to bring their brokenness to God on a regular basis. They're also willingly involve themselves in the lives of others so that others will advance toward the joy they find in Jesus Christ. That's mature godliness. They realize there's a lot of vanity in life, and apart from the Lord, life's a waste of time. They believe it, and they start living it. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, and every godly man can say amen to that. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. They know that part too. Psalm 34:17-19, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is close or nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. You mean godly men have a broken heart at times? Many times, godly, mature men have a broken heart. That's part of making them godly. If you don't have a broken heart over something and you're at 50 years of age, you're probably not going toward God. God allows brokenness so that His life can come through us more clearly. We know we can't do it apart from the Lord. That's mature manliness. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but this part's also true, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Amen. The third thing we see here is that this aged man, he's going to be sober, grave, dignity, sober-mindedness, under control of the Spirit. Temperate here means sensible in decision-making, sensible in the fact that he makes sound decisions, the choice to do the right thing, not from an external pressure, but from inward desire. Something going on the inside, been working there for a good while, and he wants to do right from the heart. Moses' father-in-law gave him this advice in Exodus 21. He said, choose out of the people able men. That means enabled men. Men who fear God, who did not used to fear God. Men who are of the truth, who were liars as a way of life. Men who were given to covetousness, who now hate it. They don't see things as life. They see Christ as their life. That's mature godliness. These aged men know by experience that God is the one enabling them to behave in a Christ-like fashion. That's the main point of this whole message. Listen again. These aged men know by experience, over 50 years of age, that God is the one enabling them to behave in a Christ-like fashion. They know they can't do it themselves. And they're to lead the congregation in believing that. This will be their testimony. I can do all things through the strength of Christ. And apart from that, I can't please God. 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful and he put me into the ministry. It goes on to say here that they would be sound in faith and charity and in patience. There's that word sound again, healthy spiritually. They'll be healthy spiritually in faith. This refers to an ongoing dependent relationship with Christ. They keep on depending on Christ no matter what hits them. And a lot of things will hit you hard. But they keep on coming back to a dependent relationship on Christ. They're sound in charity or love. This means they have a growing relationship with others when others may not love them in return. They've grown to the point where they love others even if others don't return the love. They not only sound in faith, a continual dependence upon Christ and life, they're always sound in their love by a growing relationship with others, but they're patient. This is a word used for perseverance. They're committed to doing the above things that we just mentioned over and over, patiently keeping at it, continually readjusting themselves to see that it's done, pursuing godliness on purpose. They keep readjusting themselves to Jesus Christ. Older, mature, godly men don't quit or search to escape the pressures of life. They return again and again to face the trials of life squarely in the strength that the Lord gives them. In so doing, they show the Lord's strength in their admitted weakness and become a pattern for the rest of the congregation to follow. Paul put it this way, 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, the continual appropriating of God's grace, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. He didn't waste it on me. But I labored. I took the grace. And I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Older men, behaving godly, setting a pattern for the rest of the congregation. May it be so at Tabernacle Baptist Church. Father, thank you for your word today. Help us to see that a true belief in you, Christ, will eventually change our behavior. And I thank you, dear Lord, for that. Christ, you are our life, not anything. Christ Himself. And we praise you for that. Lord, if there's anyone here today who doesn't know you as their salvation, I pray they turn from sin and believe upon you and be saved today, to be born again into the family of God. If there's any believer here today who has lost their way in some fashion, by believing the lies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, may they return in repentance and ask that you would be more perfectly formed in them once again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.